Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with another episode of the podcast. I hope everyone is having a good day and a good week. As we do every week, we start our program with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church. Giver of good gifts and fountain of peace, our Lord God, pacify our minds and thoughts from all troubles caused by Satan this day and at all times, so that being guided by you in this transient life, we may reach your eternal heavenly kingdom, which you have prepared for your saints from the beginning of the world. And with them, thanking you, we glorify the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and guide you to wherever you are going this morning, and bless your families and your loved ones. Amen. First off, I would like to make a comment about last Friday. Under the auspices of His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan, Prelate, His Eminence Archbishop Shahan Sarkisian, the Prelate of Aleppo, visited St. Sarkis Church on Friday, October 24th, as part of his visits to the communities within the Eastern Prelacy, and he conducted a public briefing on the continuing crisis facing the Armenian community in Syria. 86 parishioners attended the event and listened to the detailed and the impressive presentation that Shahan Sarpazan provided. I am so proud of our parishioners who attended and raised a substantial amount of funds to support the Armenian schools in Syria. Your generosity and solidarity is much appreciated. Before taking off to Canada, I spoke with Shahan Sarpazan on the phone, and this is what he had to say.
Աստված բավան իրենի դեր այդ նախբար կուդամաստուցո իր հրաշնորթությամբ եւ իր օգնությամբ գարելի դարձավ Ամերիկայի Միացյալ Նահանգներ կատարել այս այցելություն առաքելությունը, որուն հիմնական նպատակն էր Սուրիահայ մեր ժողովրդին, հատկապես հայ գրթական օջախներուն, աջակցություն ունենալ, զորակցություն ունենալ մեր հայրենագիտներուն եւ ազգագից հավատագիտներուն։ Գտնվեցա արևմտյան ափերուն վրա, արևմտյան թեմի առաջնորդ Սրբազան հոր, Մուշեր Սրբազանի հայրական եւ եղբայրական հովանավորության եւ օգնության, ապա արևելյան թեմի տարածքի մեջ Օշագան Սրբազանի առաջնորդությամբ եւ օգնությամբ կարողացանք մեր ժողովրդին ներգայացնել մեր իրավիճակը Սուրիո մեջ, հատկապես Հալեբի մեջ, ունենալ անոնց հարոյական հոգևոր եւ ազգային զորակցությունը, ինչպես նաեւ այս արդիվ հայ դպրոցին, դպրոց հիմնադրամի ջամփով օժանդակությունները, որոնք ըստ դվյալներուն քոհացուցիչ են երկու իմաստով. Մեկ, որովհետեւ ի վերջո սուրիահայերը պիտի զգան եւ զգան արդեն, որ իրենք այս պատերազմին, այս ակնուվրայության մեջ առանցին ընչել, ապողջ հայությունը, հատկապես Ամերիկայի Միացյալ Նահանգներու մեր ժողովուրդը իրենց զորավիք է, մյուս կողմը նաև հայ դպրոցը, որ բաց պահելու բարդականության, նվիրական առաքելության մեջ կգտնվինք բոլորս միասնապատ, պիտի կարողանանք նյութափառորիական այդ աջակցություններով եւ օժանդակությամբ իր ընթացքը պահել եւ նոր սերունդի հաստիարակությունը ապահովել։ Այս արդիվ գրգին եւ գրգին կուզեմ անհատապար եւ հավաքապար մեր ժողովրդի զավակներուն մեր երախտագիտությունը, երախտագիտական զգացումները շնորհակալություն հայտնել, հատկապես թեմական առաջնորդներուն, ազգային վարչությանս, միութիանս ներկայացուցիչներուն, մեր հոգեվորականաց դասին եւ այս պարակային արևելյան թեմի ամբողջ ընտանիքին, մասնավորապես նաեւ ցեզի, որ կարողացաք այս ընթացքին երկու առիթներով առիթ ընձայել, կարողանալ խոսելու մեր ժողովրդին հետ։ Աստծո օրհնությունը կխնդրեմ բոլորին համար, Աստծո շնորհներ ամբողջովին մեր ժողովրդի վրա են, եւ խաղաղություն կմաղթեմ աշխարհին, հատկապես մեր երկրի Սուրիո եւ Սուրիահայության։ Շնորհակալություն դայթ։ Աստվա ձորդնեցը, շնորհակալություն։
Etiquette today, something that we all know, but sometimes we forget to practice. So as a general reminder, here is a definition of what is church etiquette. Church etiquette is a set of rules that govern behavior in the house of God. It comes from the same principle as the etiquette that governs behavior in polite society. With that said, let's look at some of the basic rules of the church etiquette. When you come to St. Sarkis Church, you will find on the pews a set of rules, the etiquette of the church that everyone is kindly asked to follow. But sometimes we're too busy to read that and we kind of forget what is the right manners, right way of behavior in the church. Therefore, today and in the upcoming episodes, I would like to revisit our church etiquette and try to discuss that with our listeners so that next time when we come to church, we will behave a little bit better. So here's what it says on our church etiquette. In the sanctuary, you are in the presence of God Almighty. Please take into consideration the following points for appropriate church manners. It's a reminder that we are in the presence of God. Well, our life in general, we live our life in the presence of God. But when we come to church, we make that very clear that we want to be in the presence of God. And that's why we are there. I don't care if you're there for a requiem service or to light a candle. You are in the presence of God. And sometimes we tend to forget that. So the first item on that list is the following. Before entering the church, turn off your cellular phone and discard your chewing gum. I would like to dwell on the before entering the church part. Going to church is not like going to a party. Church requires our preparation. The preparation is not putting on your best outfit, but the preparation is about your spiritual readiness to be in the presence of God. When we read our church fathers' writings, they say that church preparation should start the day before you come to church. For instance, if you're coming to church on a Sunday, your preparation should start on Saturday evening. You need to consider that Sunday is the day of the Lord, and you're going to be in the presence of God. So all the mental preparation and the spiritual preparation should start away ahead of time before you come to church. But when you arrive at the church, we have two great reminders. Turn your cell phone off. Turn your cell phone off and discard your chewing gum. It's very interesting that so many people find these two very distracting. You will be in the middle of the service, the most inspiring part of the worship, and you will hear the most obnoxious ringtone ever. If you do not know how to turn off your cell phone, then maybe you shouldn't use one. This is common sense, right? But I don't know why. Time after time, people forget to turn their cellular phones off. I find it very distracting when I'm giving a sermon and somebody's phone is ringing. I do not have a text. I don't read my words. Most of the time, I improvise the points that I want to elaborate. And when your cell phone rings, it puts me in a very, very difficult position. And I say this because I imagine if somebody is kneeling down and trying to pray and your cell phone is ringing, I don't know how that person would feel when their prayer is being interrupted. We need to respect that we're not the only ones in the church. And I don't care who is calling you on your cell phone. There are people who are trying to establish a communication with God Almighty, and you cannot interrupt that. You cannot interrupt that with your cell phone, and you cannot interrupt that with your chewing gum. So please, next time when you come to church, make sure that either you keep your cell phone in your car or you turn it off and make sure that you don't have a chewing gum. Let's try to be respectful to the people around us who are trying to pray to God, and let us also be respectful to the fact that we are in the presence of God. The podcast has been on the road for the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we recorded in Elberson, Pennsylvania. Last week, I recorded at the Prelacy, and today, it feels good to be back home. I am honored today to be joined by Mr. Arthur Hayrabedian, a long-standing parishioner of St. Sarkis Church, who also happened to be the first chairman of the Board of Trustees and a member who has been influential starting and building the original St. Sarkis Church in Bayside. Mr. Hayrabedian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Deride. Thank you for asking me here. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you very much. Do you listen to the podcast?
Every week. I think it's a fantastic moment that you share with the population on many, many different facets, whether it's religion or everyday life and advice. I think it's a fantastic thing. Really mean it.
Tell us about your experience with St. Sarkis Church. I think when we talk about St. Sarkis, we often think about this building, the location in Douglaston. But before that, St. Sarkis was in Bayside, and it existed for almost 50 years now. And you have been one of the people who were instrumental in starting St. Sarkis Church. Tell us a bit more about that.
Thank you, Derek. Yes, but we're going way back now. It was in the early 60s that a group of young men decided that we needed a church in the Gilead side in Long Island. And we bought a Protestant church in Bayside, and we were a total of about 33 families, I think, members of the church. I was honored enough to be elected as the chairman of the consecration committee when we consecrated the church, and after that I was elected as the first chairman of the Board of Trustees after the consecration. They were very hard times, I have to admit. First of all, it was a Protestant church. We had to convert to an Armenian church. Of course, converting is easy, except that you have to have the money. And at that time, money was extremely tight. What could I tell you? The average salary for a graduate was somewhere around $5,000 or $6,000 a year.
A year.
A year. I happened to be, at that time, an electronic engineer for about 2 years since graduation, and my salary was exactly $6,000. And we had a mortgage in St. Sarkis of about $133,000 or $135,000, equivalent today probably around $1.1 million or $1.2 million. And remember, I said we had 33 families. We were struggling every week. We lived in that room. Just as a side anecdote, I was married for about 2 years or 3 years, and my wife one day told me, why don't you take your bed and put it in St. Sarkis? Meaning that after work, every day, I was in the church along with at least half the members of the Board of Trustees. We had bazaars, we had rummage sales, we had dinners, we had donations, but we were very tight. To give you one example, De La Sorig had a house on the premises, a separate house. And one day he told us that my roof is like a sieve. In other words, it was leaking all over. We didn't have the money to get a contractor to put up a roof. Fortunately, one of our pillars, which was Harold Manoogian, knew something about roofing. And believe it or not, on a weekend, Saturday and Sunday, The Board of Trustees were crawling all over his roof, putting on a new roof in 2 days. And we did do it, by the way. Why 2 days? Because we all had jobs, so we couldn't afford more.
So you guys not only donated, but you also did all the work for the church.
Oh, absolutely. We did all the painting, the repairs. If something broke, we had to fix it ourselves. Yes, so we gave as much as we could, possibly, out of our own pockets and fundraising. And we did do all the work necessary to maintain the church.
So we know that you left and you lived for so many years in France.
Yes, actually, I was a board of trustee member and the chairman for approximately 5 years, at which time, because of business, I moved my family to Paris, France, and stayed there for 43 years.
So you were not here when the fire destroyed our church?
No, unfortunately, well, fortunately, depending on your point of view, I was not here, but I did hear about it. It took quite a bit of my heart out because St. Sarkis, to me, at that time, was my church. We put our blood and sweat into it, and then I heard it burnt down. When I came back, I found the edifice of St. Sarkis, which is grand. Considering what St. Sarkis was in Bayside, it was a wooden church. And here we have a beautiful church constructed of the new board of trustees and parishioners that were around at that time.
There is this analogy that is used in the early church in the times of the apostles that one of the symbols of the church was Noah's Ark. People looked at Noah's Ark and they said, this is a symbol of the church, symbol of Christianity. And when we talk about arcs, there also must be journeys. How do you evaluate this journey as a person who was part of the inception of the church and 50 years later, here we are sitting again and talking about St. Sarkis Church. Tell me about your personal evaluation.
Well, number one, I must say that I'm very proud of St. Sarkis. Knowing the inception of the church, what we went through, the disappointments we had, the fights we were doing among ourselves to keep and maintain the church, and seeing what it is today, to me, it warms my heart to say that the work that we did at that time was not only carried on after a tragedy, a tremendous tragedy, where you could have said, fine, let's just go to another church. But the feeling of St. Sarkis was embedded so much in the hearts and minds of the people that they built this new church. When I finally came over on business or what have you, and I was here on a Sunday, I did come to St. Sarkis. After all, it was my church. And when I saw what they had built, and I saw that the progress that was being made, I felt very proud that I was part of the conception of this church. If you want my opinion of it today, I think this church has grown. It's grown to the point whereby people have come back to the church. And when I say people, I mean the youth. I see the activities in this church that have now increased, where the youth is more active, there's more organizations, and I'm sure that this is because of our dead high and our board of trustee members.
Thank you. Your grandson, Peter, is actually the chairman of the youth club that was formed last year. What do you think of that?
Well, I have to admit that Peter Boyajian is someone I'm very proud of. Why? Because not only does he come to church, but he was on the Horan, and he has served on the Horan for many years. He is active in the youth group. He was elected as the chairman of this, or president of this youth group. And I think Peter, once his other activities, which was taking most of his time outside the church now, will constantly be a member of this church and will be part of this church actively as soon as he's graduated with his schooling or finished with his schooling. I am very proud of Peter.
We are very proud of him and his cohorts who are part of the youth club and part of St. Sarkis Church. Mr. Harabedian, as a person who was born in this country and then lived a big, important chunk of your life in Paris, and here you're back to New York, I'm sure that you have learned a lot of lessons from life. Would you like to share with our listeners what is the most important lesson that you have learned in life?
That is a complicated question, however, we could say the most important thing in life is health. A lot of people say finances. Of course, health is very important, and finances, of course, also. But to me, the most important thing in life is a close family tie. As you said, I spent quite a few years, 43 of them, tell you honestly, in Paris, of which possibly one quarter of the time, my children were here in the United States, whether it was for advanced colleges or marriage. And my wife and I, Lillian and I, were alone in Paris. However, even though we were thousands of miles away, every day we got telephone calls from our children. My children, we are fortunate enough, are very close to each other. Our grandchildren also. It's like they're all brothers and sisters. To me, family is the most important thing in life. To be a parent is easy. To get married is easy. But to raise a family with principles and feeling of closeness to one another and other people who need their aid, to me, is very important. I think that's one of the best lessons I've ever learned in my life.
And I think that you have succeeded in creating that beautiful family where your children and your grandchildren have the utmost respect to you and to the values that you have instilled in their hearts. Now, since we are talking about family, and since you are one of the patriarchs of the St. Sarkis Church family, what is your message to our listeners?
Well, patriarch is a big word that I thank you for referring me as a patriarch. The message is very simple. In life, we all have problems. We all have work. We all have expenses. But if we don't have God in our hearts, all that is worth nothing. I'm not just saying it because I'm sitting here in front of you, Dad. I believe this all my life. You have to be close to God. He is always there to help you if you need him. He is there to keep you clean and thoughtful of other people. You have to have this feeling, because if you don't, what is left? Work, money, vacations, all this is superficial. All this will end someday. But religion and belief in God will continue for eternity. That is what I believe in.
Amen to that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you for coming to St. Sarkis Church today for this wonderful interview. We wish that you will stay with us for so many years, because your presence is a positive and inspiring presence in the family of St. Sarkis Church. And I would like to thank you for all the good work that you are doing for our church.
Thank you very much for inviting me here and giving me this opportunity to say a few words. I am also very thankful for your blessing, and it's up to God how long I will be in St. Sarkis.
Let us read and reflect on the Word of God. This is something that we do here every week on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 17 through 25. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "This is my commandment, love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. The word of God. This is the continuation of what we read last week. Today, Jesus speaks to his disciples, and Jesus reminds them that they do not belong to the world. This is a very interesting notion, to be part of the world, but not to belong to the world. The world as God created is good. However, the worldly ways which prevent us from knowing God, from establishing a relationship with God, is pretty bad. It seems like this is what Jesus is talking about. He was with the people. He performed the miracles. He spoke to the people, but not everyone was able to accept him. In the world, but not of the world. Being in the world means we can enjoy the things of the world, such as the beautiful creation God has given us. But we are not to immerse ourselves in what the world values. No, we are to chase after worldly pleasures. Pleasure is no longer our calling in life, as it once was, but rather the worship of God. Believers in God are in the world, physically present, but not of it, not part of its values. As believers, we should be set apart from the world. This is the meaning of being holy and living a holy, righteous life, to be set apart. We are not to engage in the sinful activities the world promotes, nor we are to retain the corrupt mind that the world creates. Rather, we are to conform ourselves and our minds to that of Jesus Christ. This is a daily activity and commitment. We must understand that being in the world, but not of it, is necessary if we are to be a light to those who are in spiritual darkness. We are to live in such a way that those outside the faith see our good deeds and know that there is something different about us who believe in God. We as Christians should exhibit the fruit of the Spirit within us. You can find us on iTunes when you search the podcast with Father Narek. Check my podcast library on nterterian.podbean.com. Interact with us on Facebook. Let me hear what you think. Make suggestions about future episodes so that we can interview or talk about the things that you want to hear in the future. Today's hymn is one of the hymns of the penance of the Armenian Church called Zov Gensalvis, which means the sea of my life, and it goes something like this. The sea of life always tosses me about. Good captain, be the haven of my soul. This hymn is recorded by Hover Chamber Choir of Armenia. I hope that you will enjoy listening to this hymn. I will be back next week with another episode of the podcast.